Well, it's 3 o'clock where I am, so I'm not going to say good afternoon. Yeah, maybe I will. It's noon where you are, right? First of all, I want to thank you so much for inviting me to speak. I feel very humbled by that, and it's part of my recovery, my step 12 to be of service, and I'm just very grateful to be here today. I'd like to begin with a set-aside prayer. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, my disease, the 12 steps, and especially you, so I may have an open mind and a new experience of all these things. Please let me see the truth. And I think when I was reflecting this morning, I think I'll start with. What was I like before recovery, or before I reached that point of so deeply unhappy and desperate and just self-loathing that I was ready to pretty much do anything, keep my mouth shut and listen. I grew up in a home that was dysfunctional. My parents were good people, but my mother was very unhappy. She had a depressive nature. My father had a nervous disposition. He always worried about money. I think my father lived with a lot of regret, and my mother, she had emotional problems. That she had mental, there was mental illness there, and it wasn't diagnosed. I can tell you, depression was part of it, and on the opposite side, being a rageaholic. Emotionally reactive all the time. So, and a lot of arguing, my parents would, and they would argue in front of us. And I never really saw them being affectionate with each other like I did at my friend's house when I would visit. So, in my home, I'll just suffice to say that my parents may have done their best in that. Their hearts, they were good people, dutiful, providing food, providing clothing, providing shelter. But my self-esteem, those basic instincts that Bill points out in the big book, my self-esteem, my emotional security as a child, my feeling financially secure, capable, responsible, my ability to relate well with people, having confidence. My ability to understand my sexual identity and not be afraid of the opposite sex or afraid of my body. None of that was dealt with within my home. I pretty much in my childhood and through my adolescence didn't experience much of life. I was the middle of three children. And my mother was there, but she was not there. And there was one illness, one hospital visit after another. So I didn't experience what life had to offer in joining clubs, in feeling good about myself. I always felt weird. I always felt different. I didn't have role models to learn from, and I was picked on, talked about, because I was big. I was bigger than my sister. She was 2 years older than me, but she had a different personality than me. And the kids in the neighborhood were more her age than mine. So, I always kind of went through having one friend. If I had one friend in school, that was okay. I lived in fear, though, most of the time, and I was very shy. So I lived in resentment, I lived in fear, and I lived in dishonesty. And that was in high school and really in college. So if I'm living in resentment, I was a good student. I could prove myself that way. But this was my response to living. I mean, I was overly sensitive, overly self-conscious. So if I'm living in resentment, that means I'm quick to get angry. And that means I can fight. I mean, I can argue. In situations you could find me, I had a great role model, my mother. I had a big mouth. And I could be disrespectful to my mother. I could, you know, you hit a nerve with me. I could be that way, or I could just be the total opposite way, quiet and not say a word. So there was resentment. When I was in fear, which was most of the time, the response to that is flight. Somebody, there's an opportunity for me to grow, to join something. I would say, okay, I'll be there. And then I'd get nervous and afraid or sabotage myself by having a huge binge, and I wouldn't show up. And that could be something so positive. You know, I'm going away, supposed to go away for the weekend, and I'm getting nervous and anxious about it. And what am I going to wear? And I don't have any clothes. And my mind's ruminating and rushing. And nobody's, you know, I had no resources to turn to. So I would binge. And then I don't want to go because I feel horrible and I wouldn't show up. I did that once, didn't show up to a concert, and the person had tickets for me. Well, of course, people end relationships when you don't show up and you say you're going to. I see that now. But then I didn't see I was doing anything wrong. Yeah, I just dismissed it quickly. And then I lived in dishonesty. I was dishonest about a lot of things, mainly because I didn't know what to be honest, how to be honest. I couldn't see myself honestly. I didn't know. Or maybe I would lie. I'm sure I did. Give up, make up an excuse, lie about things. And that was part of my low self-esteem. So when you're dishonest and you're living in dishonesty, what does that mean? It's known as freezing, right? When you freeze, you can either fight, flight, or freeze. And I would freeze at times, meaning I'll just try to, I'm in this situation. I'll just, you know, I won't be genuine. I won't be authentic. I'll put a mask on. And I'll let myself even be used if it means that I'll fit in. I don't know how to socially navigate in this situation. I didn't know how to navigate with people. One-on-one, I was okay, but as long as I could have control, but anything beyond that was fear. So I would allow myself, you know, to be used, or I'm here, but I've got a mask on, so I'm just ignore me. That would be okay too. And then if somebody spoke to me, I would really try to show you that I am smart because I did well in school. So I would find something that I could say that was just not really even appropriate. So my social skills were really off. I never managed my life well. I never enjoyed the milestones of growth. I never went to a prom. I never had a date in college. I graduated though. I went to the University of Maryland. And the big joke is if you graduate as a virgin, the terrapin in the mall will, you know, fly away or something or walk away. Well, the terrapin didn't walk away, and I can tell you that's a joke. That's not going to happen because I didn't experience college the way I was afraid. I was just afraid, and I was always on pay and way. That was the center of my life. What do I look like on the outside? That became something I could control. Yeah, and I was good at that. I'll go to a pay and weigh, I'll lose 30 pounds, I'll lose 40 pounds, and then I reach my goal, and sure enough, drift away. And within a few months, it's back, and I'm miserable, and this and this. Well, what's the next pay and weigh? I can't stand myself when I look in the mirror. I can't fit into my clothes. That cycle became my life. I was not emotionally balanced. I was not responsible, a confident adult. When I graduated with college, I had a great GPA, but I couldn't get a job as a teacher. I didn't interview well. And I was afraid that somebody would hire me, really. And then what do I do? Because I had some organizational problems, a very good memory, but I had some organizational and social problems. And I didn't deal with them till later. I lived on impulse and I lived on all the shoulds of what others expected of me and society expected. And I was pretty smart and book smart, my mother used to say, Judy, you're book smart, but you don't have common sense. So my mother said pretty much, why don't you get married? And I did. I married a man after knowing him for 3 months. I'm still married to him. God put me together with someone who was also kind of broken. My mind was never at peace. I didn't even know what that was. I was always agitated. I was always nervous. I had panic attacks. I had panic attacks in high school. I had panic attack, and that means you just break out in sweat. And it wasn't until in college I did seek some counseling. But and it was effective. Once I got married, I sought therapy. That was effective. But through all those years of most of my life, what was center? Food, not people, not living, food. Food was my go-to for comfort, food, and that would mean binging. And I had buddies in college. We binged through the night. I had a nervous, anxious disposition. No matter what the circumstances were, I turned to food at this point. If I was happy, if I was sad, if there was an opportunity for a job, if there was anything, what was the food? What was the food going to be there? And I knew a lot of people who were the same way. What's the food? That was kind of like my comfort zone. If something good would happen, I would sabotage myself, even when I didn't know I was doing it. And I'd question myself, Judy, why do you sabotage? Why do you do that? I just didn't know. I didn't know. I just didn't. So what does that mean? It means that I was basically live I li basically lived my life in my own character defects. Because I had the fears, I had the resentment, I was dishonest, and I was self-centered. I didn't know that at the time. I mean, I'm a good person. I wouldn't intentionally hurt people. I just failed people. I failed their expectations that they had of me, including my own children. I didn't have the priorities I should have had when I got married, and my husband didn't either at the time. His family was just as dysfunctional. So I went through motions, provided a lot of things that I didn't experience to my children. My husband and I both worked very hard and made our mistakes, but I mean, my kids had music lessons. My kids went to camp. I never did any of that. We took vacations every summer. I never had that. But I wasn't there for my kids, just as my mother wasn't there for me, because I was living in the disease. I had a food problem, and I had more than a food problem. I had a personality problem. I knew I needed a program to lose the weight so that I could feel better about myself. I don't want to repeat myself here. Okay. I'll just say that I was living in my disease. Life was still a roller coaster. And I sought outside help. I read self-help books. As I matured and went through my 30s, I did seek the help. And it was effective, but it didn't change me. It was almost just a dependency on the therapist or the psychiatrist. I recognized there was something wrong with me. I used to say I'm crazy. And I did take medication. I didn't really know who I was. I didn't know myself as a human being, and I didn't understand why I was eating uncontrollably when I could, eat very well for periods of time. But I was absorbed with food, and I never could sustain friendships or feeling socially a part of a group. I never had a quiet mind. I didn't understand what inner peace was. I recently learned that, and this is the way I was. And I did say this at the other meeting, but I'm in the Herb K workshop right now. It's a year-long workshop, and it's on the 12 steps. And I've learned that, we can't beat up on ourselves so much. I have so many regrets and could feel such shame that I really repeated what my parents did for my own children. But, I really didn't know any better. And you don't know what you don't know. And I didn't see myself in the light. I was living in the darkness, so to speak. You can't see what you can't see if you've never been taught, or you don't have the role model, or you haven't gone through the steps. So I lived with my character defects, even though I thought, well, that's just me, right? This is me, take it or leave it. And that's what I heard my mother say, my sister say. That was my thinking. I just felt like I needed to feel good about myself. And that meant look good on the outside. I didn't have a thought about having an inner transformation. I didn't even know what that meant. And that's what was required because I was a real compulsive overeater with an abnormal mind and an abnormal emotional makeup. I think I, you know, was more like my mom and my brother and my sister. I mean, it was just a lot of screaming. So that's what was required for me. I needed an inner transformation in order to live a life of manageability, purpose, peace, and serenity. I needed a real change, and I needed to find out exactly who I was living in this disease and what was I really like? How can I really live a productive life and finally be happy and free of this anxiety and the worry and the shame and the guilt and the blame and the comparing and the competing with other people? That was pretty much around me, society's values of what you should do to be successful or viewed as successful. I felt so unhappy and desperate because things were not working out for me. I was overwhelmed. I had a stressful job. I had a baby. I had a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old and found myself pregnant again. I had a baby in my early 40s and still went back to work. That's a lot. And my husband was doing the best he could, but he had problems too. So somehow I'd been in OA. I heard about OA, and then I heard about OA Vision and the meeting, and I called and I got a vision sponsor. And I will not, and I worked through the steps with a wonderful sponsor God brought into my life. And that wasn't the first sponsor I had. It was really a process for me. The first time I went back to OA, the meeting was not, it was just people talking. Then I met someone and I went to a vision meeting. And then I went through the steps and I went through them thoroughly, but she pretty much dropped me after the 12th step. And I can't, it doesn't work for me because I just drifted. I never understood what living in 10, 11, and 12 means. So I went through the steps again with a sponsor from another state. And again, she kind of drifted and I drifted. Finally, 4 years ago, after my mother died, and I was on a really like 3 to 4 week deep binge. And I was so depressed. I went to the vision meeting. I called a sponsor. God put a sponsor in my life. And this time I went through the steps and she stayed with me in 10, 11, and 12. And I was so shy and so scared to make outreach calls, to put myself out there. I just felt like I didn't know enough. I didn't want to be a fraud. My insecurities, but one day at a time, one day at a time. I like going through the steps every 14 months. I just do. I've been through the steps 3 times. I slipped once in an airport. I picked up something and then I got back, called my sponsor, and she gave me an assignment and I got right back on track. But outside of that, I'm very happy with my healthy foods. But I knew that I needed emotional sobriety. I knew for me and my how God put me together that it's my emotions that trigger me, trigger my mental states and my own brain. Time's up. Is that it? Okay, well, let me just end with
You can
can I
finish your thoughts.
okay. Gosh, I didn't know. Bill Wilson says that emotional sobriety, to have emotional sobriety, and I agree with him, you have to release the false dependencies you have on people and you have on circumstances, which is society's views of what it means to be successful. That in itself teaches me that, I'm okay just the way I am. Stop comparing, stop competing. God will give me all the material goods that I need if I do the work and stay responsible and live practically and with gratitude. So today I work through the steps, I sponsor, I live recovered one day at a time, and I am very grateful that for the first time, it's a slow and steady process of growth for me, and I'll never be cured. I get a daily reprieve, but I am so grateful to be living one day at a time, 10, 11, and 12, have fellowship with fellows, some I'm very, closer with, weekly calls, working with sponsees, being on the 10th step train, which is kind of vital for me. I love it because of my 10th, and I'm just accountable. I'm accountable to three sponsors, and I feel happier in my life today, despite having family relationships that I wish were very different. I'm not binging over things, and there's a lot on my plate with acceptance and surrender to God's will. I find that almost miraculous when I tell someone I'm speaking at a meeting today. Me. How did you get there, Judy? And one of my sponsors said to me recently, "Boy, Judy, you have come a long way." And I'm grateful to God for that. And I hope to keep moving forward, right? More growth and more connection. And with that, I pass.